te danken, te loven en prijzen. En ik zeg, mijn ziel buigt zich neder in mij. Daarom gedenk ik uwer. Uit het land van de Jordaan aan de Hermonbergen. Uit het klein gebergte. Watervloed roept tot watervloed. Bij het gebruis uw stromen. Al uw baren en golven slaan over mij heen. Desdaags zal de Heere zijn goede tierenheid gebieden. En desnachts zal zijn lied bij mij zijn. Een gebed tot de God mijns levens. En ik wil God mijn rots zeggen. Waarom vergeet gij mij? Waarom ga ik in het zwart? Vanwege des vijands onderdrukking? Met een doodsteek in mijn beenderen honen mij mijn tegenstanders. Doordat zij de ganse dag tot mij zeggen, waar is uw God? Wat buig gij u neder, o mijn ziel? En wat zijt gij onrustig in mij? Hoop op God, want ik zal hem nog loven. Want hij is mijn verlosser en mijn God. Dat is Psalm 42, begin bij vers 7 tot 12. Ja, Heere, zo wil ik u loven deze avond. Zo wil ik u danken, mijn Heiland. Zo wil ik u alles zeggen, Vader Jezus. Omdat ik van u houd, mijn Heiland. Vader, wij houden van u. Vader, we hebben u lief. Maar u, Vader Jezus, hebt ons lief gehad met eeuwige liefde. Daarom, mijn Heiland, roep ik om u, Vader Jezus. Vul mij meer en meer, mijn Heiland. Want u ziet de harten, Vader. Wij zien het ook. Maar, Vader, u bent zo machtig. U bent zo wonderbaar om te antwoorden, Vader Jezus, als wij vragen. Vader, dank u wel, Vader, dat wij tot u mogen komen, Vader. Met radio, gospel radio, Stefania, Vader. Om u te prijzen, Vader. Om u nogmaals te danken. Te roepen, Vader. En te aanbidden, mijn Heiland. Want u bent het waard, Vader Jezus Christus. Dat wij tot u komen, mijn Heiland. Vader, dat wij tot onze hart tot u smeken, Vader. Om ons te jubelen in u, Vader. Want u bent zo, u bent waarlijk de wonderbare raadsman, de sterke God. U bent de vredevorst, de eeuwige Vader, Vader Jezus. Dank u wel, Vader. Dank u wel, Vader. Ik doe naar uw woord, mijn Heiland. En Vader, wij doen zo, Vader Jezus Christus. U, omdat u zo machtig bent, u spreekt tegen ons, Vader. Vader, dank u wel, Vader Jezus Christus. Mijn hart is vol van uw liefde, Vader. Mijn hart is vol van uw goede tierenheid, mijn Heiland. Vader, en ik dank u ook voor broeder Cor en zuster Marlene, Vader Jezus, en uw gezin, Vader. Ik dank u dat u hen zegent, Heere Jezus Christus. Ik dank u ook, Vader, voor alle luisteraars, Vader, die luisteren. Vader, en die meelezen, mijn Heiland. Want u, o Vader, u bent zo goed en zo wonderbaar. Dank u wel, Vader. Vader, dank u wel. Het woord wat ik ga lezen, Vader, wilt u voorgaan, Vader Jezus. Want u doet wonderen en tekenen in de hemel en op de aarde, Vader. En ik dank u, Vader, voor alles, mijn Heiland. Vader, we brengen zo de zieken voor uw troon van genade, mijn Heiland. De ziekenhuizen waar alle verzorgers zijn, Vader. Doktoren, verpleegkundigen die helpen. Vader, waar dan ook. Welke ander werk ze ook doen. Vader, Jezus Christus. Geef ze kracht, Vader. zegent hen, vader, van hoofdschedel tot voetzool, vader. Zegen hun armen, hun handen, vader Jezus. Hun ogen om te zien, hun ingewanden, vader. Want u hebt het volle prijs betaald voor ons allemaal, mijn heiland. We danken u, vader. We danken u, vader. Dat wij u hebben, vader. Dat u ons leidt, vader. En u leidt ons door alles heen, vader. Maar u haalt ons weer dooruit. Want als wij geen beproeving hebben, vader Jezus, zijn wij geen overwinnaar, vader. We danken u, vader. En we loven u, vader. En we danken u voor uw woord, vader. Wat gaan lezen, vader Jezus. En ik prijs uw naam, vader. Ik dank u voor de bijstand van uw Heilige Geest. In uw wonderbare naam, vader. Zeker alle gemeentes, vader, waar ze ook zijn, de scholen, de kinderen, zegen ze, vader. Dat bid ik u in Jezus' naam, vader. Dank u wel, vader. Ja, lieve luisteraars, we gaan lezen uit het boek Daniël. Daniël, hoofdstuk 6. Daniël in de leeuwenkuil. En het gaat zo. Darius de Meder ontving het koningschap toen hij 62 jaar oud was. Het behaagde de Darius over het koninkrijk 120 stadhouders aan te stellen, die over het gehele koninkrijk verdeeld zouden zijn. En over zijn drie rijksbestuurders, van welke Daniël er één was. Aan hen moeten de stadhouders rekenschap geven, opdat de koning geen schade zou lijden. Toen overtrok deze Daniël de rijksbestuurders en de stadhouders, doordat een uitnemende geest in hem was. En de koning was van zins hem over het gehele koninkrijk te stellen. Daarop trachten de rijksbestuurders en de stadhouders een grond voor een aanklacht tegen Daniël te vinden in zaken het rijksbewind. Maar zij konden geen enkele grond voor een aanklacht of iets verkeerds vinden, omdat hij getrouw was en er geen verzuim of iets verkeerd bij hem gevonden werd. Toen zeiden die mannen: wij zullen tegen deze Daniël geen enkele grond voor een aanklacht vinden, tenzij wij iets tegen hem vinden in de dienst van zijn God. Daarop drongen de rijksbestuurders en stadhouders onstuimig bij de koning aan en zeiden tot hem: o koning Darius, leef in eeuwigheid. Alle rijksbestuurders van het koninkrijk, oversten, stadhouders, raadsheren en landvoogden hebben zich beraden dat een koninklijk besluit behoort te worden uitgevaardigd en een verbod vastgesteld. Dat ieder die binnen 30 dagen een verzoek zich tot een god, binnen 30 dagen een verzoek richt tot enig god of mens, behalve tot u, o koning, in de leeuwenkuil zal worden geworpen. Vaardig dan nu, o koning, dat er dat verbod uit en schrijf een bevelschrift dat onveranderlijk is naar de wet der Meden en Persen, die niet kan worden herroepen. Dus schreef koning Darius dat bevelschrift met dat verbod. Zodra Daniel vernomen had dat het bevelschrift geschreven was, ging hij naar zijn huis. Nu had hij in zijn bovenvertrek open vensters aan de kant van Jeruzalem. En driemaal daags boog hij zich neder op zijn knieën en bad en loofde zijn God, juist zoals hij dat tevoren placht te doen. Toen snelden die mannen toe en vonden Daniel biddende en smekende tot zijn God. Daarop naderden zij tot de koning en spraken tot hem over het koninklijk verbod. Heb gij niet een verbod uitgevaardigd dat ieder mens die binnen 30 dagen een verzoek richt tot enig god of mens, behalve tot u, o koning, in de leeuwenkuil zal worden geworpen? De koning antwoordde: de zaak staat vast naar de wet der Meden en Persen, die niet kan worden herroepen. Toen zeide zij tot de koning: Daniel, een van de ballingen uit Juda, heeft geen acht geslagen op u, o koning, nog op het verbod dat gij hebt uitgevaardigd. Maar driemaal daags verricht hij zijn gebed. Zodra de koning de zaak gehoord had, mishaakte zij hem ten eerste. En hij zond op middelen om Daniel te bevrijden. Ja, tot zonsondergang gaf hij zich moeite om hem te redden. Toen drongen die mannen onstuimig bij de koning aan en zeiden tot hem: weet, o koning, dat het een wet van Meden en Persen is, dat geen enkel verbod of besluit dat de koning heeft uitgevaardigd veranderd kan worden. Daarop gaf de koning bevel en men haalde Daniel en wierp hem in de leeuwenkuil. De koning nam het woord en zeide tot Daniel: uw God, die gij zo volhardend dient, die bevrijde u. En er werd een steen gebracht en op de opening van de kuil gelegd. En de koning verzegelde die met zijn zegelring en met de zegelring van zijn machthebbers, opdat er niet zou worden veranderd met betrekking tot Daniel. Toen ging de koning naar zijn paleis en brak de nacht vasten door. En hij liet niets tot afleiding voor zich brengen. En zijn slaap vloot van hem. En bij het ochtendkrieken, toen het licht werd, stond de koning op en ging in de haast naar de leeuwenkuil. En toen hij naar bij de kuil kwam, riep hij Daniel toe met droeve stem. De koning nam het woord en zeide tot Daniel: Daniel, gij dienaar van de levende God, heeft uw God, die gij zo volhardend dient, u van de leeuwen kunnen bevrijden? Toen sprak Daniel tot de koning: o koning, leef in eeuwigheid. Mijn God heeft zijn engel gezonden en de muil der leeuwen toegesloten. En zij hebben mij geen kwaad gedaan, omdat ik voor hem onschuldig ben bevonden. Maar ook tegen u, o koning, heb ik geen misdaad begaan. Toen werd de koning ten zeerste verheugd en hij gaf bevel dat men Daniel uit de kuil zou optrekken. Daniel werd uit de kuil opgetrokken en geenerlei letsel werd aan hem gevonden, omdat hij op zijn God had vertrouwd. En de koning gaf bevel en men haalde die mannen die de aanklacht tegen Daniel ingebracht hadden en wierp hen in de leeuwenkuil. En hun kinderen en hun vrouwen, en zij hadden de bodem van de kuil nog niet bereikt, of de leeuwen maakten zich van hen meester. Zelfs al hun beenderen vermorzelden zij. Daarna schreef koning Darius aan alle volken, naties en talen die de ganse aarde bewonen: uw vrede zij groot. Door mij wordt bevel gegeven dat men in het gehele machtsgebied van mijn koninkrijk voor de God van Daniel zal vrezen en beven. Want hij is de levende God, die blijft in eeuwigheid. Zijn koningschap is onverderfelijk en zijn heerschappij duurt tot het einde. Hij bevrijdt en redt en doet tekenen en wonderen in de hemel en op de aarde. Hij die Daniel uit de macht der leeuwen heeft bevrijd. En deze Daniel stond in hoog aanzien onder het koningschap van Darius en onder het koningschap van Kores de Pers. Ja, luisteraars, dit was Daniel in een leeuwenkuil. Als God voor u is, wie zal tegen u zijn, lieve luisteraars? Als God voor u is, wie zal tegen u zijn? Want wij hebben een God die wonderen en tekenen verricht in de hemel en op de aarde. Die de harten ziet en wij de ogen met onze ogen zien. Maar wie is onze God? Onze God is vrede. Hij is vrede. Want hij redt, hij bevrijdt. Hij geneest. Hij doet wonderen en tekenen in de hemel en op de aarde. Luisteraars, ik zeg het nogmaals. Als God voor ons is, wie zal tegen ons zijn? Daarom, luisteraars, laten wij doorgaan met bidden en smeken naar onze Heiland, Jezus Christus. Met een hart vol verlangen. Met een hart van goedheid en genade. Zoals de Heer ons genade geschonken heeft. Want de wereld zucht. Maar God zucht niet. Hij doet wonderen en tekenen in de hemel en op de aarde. En hij verlost en hij bevrijdt. Lieve luisteraars, vrees niet. Hij is met u. Zoals hij met Daniel geweest is. Iedereen die luistert, neem dit woord ter harte. De Heere is met u al de dagen. Zoals hij met Daniel gedaan heeft. Ze zien misschien, ze zien u lopen op straat en ze zien u ergens. Maar ze weten niet wat u gaat doen. Ze zien u in uw huis. Ze weten niet wat u daar doet, maar de Heere ziet alles. En daarom is hij de wonderbare raadsman. Want hij verlost en hij bevrijdt, omdat hij alleen de harten ziet. En hij ziet uw hart. Vrees niet, maar geloof alleen in Jezus' wonderbare naam. Halleluja. Amen.
Amen, amen, Susanna. Dank u wel, ook voor de nacht. Stefan Radio wenst u een fijne gezegende nachtrust toe. En zo de Heer het leidt. Tot morgen.
Jawel, broeder Cor.
Dag, Susanna.
Dag, broeder Cor. Dag, zuster Marlene.
Groetjes.
Gezegende nacht.
Zelfde.
Dag, broeder Cor. Dag, zuster Marlene.
is op de 102.4 FM op de Cabaret Stereo. Nu tijd voor Pastor Samuel Lee.
There will come a time, not only one time, maybe more than one time, there will come a time that our faith and our beliefs are going to be challenged. Hello? There are two types of people in this, no, three types of people in the Christian world. One type of people is, they only praise God when everything is going well. Are you listening to me? When everything is going well, when you have your car, when you have your house, when you have your baby, when everything going well, you praise God. But when things go wrong, the first thing that you forget is God. That's one type of people. Hello. The other type of people are the opposite. When everything goes wrong, they start remembering God. Hello? When sickness comes, oh, Chineke, God, where are you? Are we listening? When things go well in casual letter come, suddenly we start thinking, oh God, what have I done wrong? Or when sickness comes, oh God, there are these kind of people. So what kind of people are people? When everything goes right, they praise God. As soon as a small challenge comes, they are shaking, they forget God. The other group are people who, whenever problem comes, they remember Jesus. And then you see them 3 weeks or 4 weeks in the church, or 5 weeks. 5 is at the highest. 6, you never see them. 7, even you call them, they don't answer. 10, they don't even remember you. Until the problem comes, then they remember, oh, pastor, pray for me. It's not the pastor. You don't go to pastor. Pastor can do you nothing. It's only Jesus that can change you. It's only Jesus that can heal you. Hello?
Hi.
And now you have the third group of people. The third group of people are the people, whether it is going well, whether it is not going well, whether they are sick or healthy, whether they are rich or poor, whether they are whatever situation they are going through, the only thing they know is to praise the Lord. And that type of Christian I want you to be today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Apostle Paul said, it doesn't matter I am rich or poor, I am healthy or sick, I am free or in prison. In all my circumstances, I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to praise Him. In sickness or in health, in happiness or in sadness, I'm going to praise the Lord. Somebody praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You're not praising Him well today. You're not praising Him well today. Praise the Lord. How come that a great man like this, the great prophet like this, come to a position, and sometimes we may come to a position. I'm not saying that you don't come to that position. You can come to that position, but don't stay in that position. You rise up from that position. Don't allow life to break you down. Hallelujah. So in our lives, we may go through things that our faith and our belief is going to be challenged. Even Jesus was challenged. Satan went to Jesus and said, you see, free yourself. I will give you the kingdoms of the world. Free yourself and worship me. Or are you fasting? Just free yourself. Turn to the stone to be bread and eat it and free yourself. Even Jesus was challenged. Even Job was challenged by his wife. Curse God and forget everything. But Job was afflicted. His life was afflicted. In the middle of affliction, he never cursed God. Hallelujah. Now, how come that a great prophet like this come to a position to ask the question, Jesus, are you the one? It seems like some of you come to me and say, are you Samuel Lee? No. What am I then? I'm Samuel Lee. After 15 years, 20 years, you are with me, you're asking me, am I Samuel Lee? How was I Samuel Lee? Who am I going to be? I'm Samuel Lee. I am not Osama Bin Laden or something. I am Samuel Lee. It's very strange now. Some of you come who know me very well, even you are eating in my house, you come and say, are you Samuel Lee? Samuel Lee. This prophet, he saw Jesus, miracle. He saw the powers of Jesus, and still he come to a position to say, are you the one? Are you the Messiah coming? Well, but he's the one who said, this is the Messiah. That's why, listen to me, I want to give you a life lesson. People who praise you often, don't believe them. Because people, at least in my personal life, people who have praised me a lot, they are the people who have broke me a lot. Are you listening to me? I am not shaken by anyone who praises me. Because I know if someone praises me today, that very same person will be praised me tomorrow. You understand? I'm not moved by it. Sometimes we may be flattered, but I'm not moved by if someone praises me. Because I know that if you praise me today, well, you are my family. I'm talking about outside world. You praise me today, tomorrow you will break me or forget me. Or tomorrow you see someone better than me, you praise him. That's how life is. Life is life. And life is not fair. Deal with it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you. Now, I was asking myself the question, how come that this man went through this question to say, are you the one? Number one, you know why he asked this question? Because the man was pressured. The man was pressured. Look, you are sitting here on your Lacoste shirt and Eco shoe and Burberry bag and everything. Relax, listening to the word of God. You go now to Syria, I'll talk to you if you are a Christian or not. I'm telling you, we are sitting here relaxed, even myself, relaxed, but know that where I'm coming from. We have experience in these things. Relax, Christianity. Oh, everyone is not doing well today. Oh, the sound is hard today. The sound is low today. It is hot today. It is cold today. I'm not going to church because it's nice weather. I am not going to church because it's bad weather. Jesus said in the same chapter, verse 15. Look what Jesus said. Whoever has an ear, let him hear. Look, Jesus is saying, to what can I compare this generation? This generation, to whom shall I compare? They are like children sitting in the marketplace. That is what Jesus is talking. We play a pipe, that means flute. We play a flute for you, you didn't dance. We sang a solo song, you didn't cry. So in other words, if you play joyful song, you are not happy. If you play sad song, you are not happy. If the weather is shining, you are not happy. If the weather is shining, you are not happy. That's human being. So I'm talking today to you about pressure. Nowadays, Bibles and iPads, I have one myself. Are you listening?
Yes.
Relax, coming. Yeah, some of our women beautiful in makeup, high heels, coming to church. Excuse me for women, I love you. Relax, makeup. Thank God now we are having decent dresses. Normally, if the dresses is not good, you have to even close your eyes and pray. Praise the Lord, chewing gum in the mouth. Yeah? And then when it is not good, put the chewing gum under the chair. In this way, we are having worship and praise. When I'm talking about pressure, I'm talking about our brothers and sisters who are right now in some areas.
Yes,
of Middle East, like Syria, like all these areas that have been Iraq, that have been running away for their lives. The women are being raped. The children are being raped. They are being called to deny Jesus. They are being beheaded because of faith in Christ Jesus. Are you listening to me? And here we are, the church in Europe, the church in America, the church in Australia. We are relaxed. Hey, we are relaxed. Look at your neighbor, say relax. The man was in pressure. The man was in pressure. He went through tremendous pressure in life. You know why? Because he was in prison. He was tortured. He was beaten. He was attacked by the soldiers of Rome every day in his prison. And at the end, he was beheaded. So ISIS is not something new. It has been there already. You know, in Saudi Arabia, how many times they are beheading people, nobody even say human rights. America never say human rights in Saudi. They behead people, even still today. You know that in Saudi Arabia, they have a professional only cutting heads. He has a salary for that. At least 25 Filipinos have been chopping the head. You understand that? And there is no America to say they are as bad as ISIS, huh? Because they are friends with America. Now, don't let me go to politics now. I feel like preaching. He went through pressure. When he went through pressure, you tell me you believe in Jesus, or you tell me you believe in me. It's not easy. It's not easy. I don't know whether it happened. What can I do in that position? The only answer I can say is not easy. It's really not easy. The man went through pressure. Sometimes, listen to me. Sometimes we are not like John the Baptist nowadays here because we are living in a wonderful place of the world. But sometimes we are also pressured. We are pressured by our lives. We are pressured by situations of our lives. We are pressured by our family situation, by financial situation. We are pressured by authorities and governments. It can happen to us. He went through pressure. And when you go through pressure, it is then that your real quality will come out. It is then that your real face will come out. The best relationship, you know it, when you go through pressure with one another.
Yes, Papa.
The best friendship is the friendship when you go through hellfire and that friend remains with you until the end. That's a pressure. Will come out, that your real character will show up.
Yes.
Your real love for God will show when you go through trials, when you go through persecutions. I never forget my trials. They can never be compared to the trials of our brothers and sisters in Iraq or Syria. But here, how many of you remember many years ago we were pressured, kicked out from our building by the local government? During those times, you don't know how much high blood pressure I had, how many times I almost hospitalized, how many times I was bedridden. You never know that. But it was during those days that my faith boosted up. It was during those days that I said, never, I am never going to quit. I'm going to stand on my feet. I'm going to fight this thing. There are two things pressure can do to you. Either it will kill you, or you're going to kill the pressure. Listen to me, guys. I am myself talking like a tiger here, but it's to me also. Sometimes we have too much stress. Stress. Left and right stress. Stress, in Dutch we say stress deep. The stress chicken. We stress too much. Hello. Praise the Lord. Someone's bell is ringing. I hope it's not a stress. the man will start asking, are you the one? So, first of all, John the Baptist went through pressure. It is through pressure your faith will be proven. Are you listening to me? It is through pressure you can separate gold from stone. Are you listening? It's through fire that you can separate silver and gold. So when we go through pressure in life, we call upon the name of the Lord. Call me and I will answer you. Sometimes when pressure comes, so many things happen. If we become angry, we fight with people around us. When pressure comes, we are, you know, in Dutch we say shaharainet. Or the first thing we do, we call lawyer, we call police, we call everybody, but we don't call God. Yes. The first thing you need to do is to call God. Call upon the name of the Lord, yes, and you shall be saved.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. So why John the Baptist went through this question? Because he went through pressure. He is beginning to lose his faith. Number two, the reason. Are you listening? Number two, the reason why he come. Hey, Christian, you like this one? The second reason is that he start asking how come question. How many of you know how come question? Have you ever asked yourself how come question? How come? In every relationship, there is a how come question. Especially when you are fighting. Husband and wife, boyfriend, girlfriend. How come after all these things that I have done for you? Marriage counseling is like that. People come, they sit there. I don't do matching. They only talk to each other. And then the other person says, let me correct it. And that, let me correct it. It's not you or your family who did it to me. It's me and my family. All these things that we have not done. How come? How many of you have been asking the how come question? How come? Maybe John the Baptist asked himself the how come question. How come I baptized this man? How come the dove came and sit upon his head? How come that he is the one that I myself even proclaim? How come because of him I keep locusts every day in the desert? How come because of this man I dress shanty dress and I was in the desert every day? How come? After all these proclamations, shouting in the desert that he is the one. And sometimes we are also like that. Oh God, how come? How come I have been always in the church? Not even one Sunday I have missed. Oh God, how come I have been paying my tithe that I don't pay? Oh no, I pay. That I pay. How come? After all these things, how come? Do you know how many people are being disappointed in their churches? And because they are disappointed in their churches, they immediately disappointed in God. Listen, your church is not your God. Your church is a fellowship. And some people I have been talking to, they don't go to churches anymore. Why? Because, for example, they did something in the church and nobody thanked them. Or they did something in that, nobody say hello to them. And because, or pastor chopped the money. Or pastor put the money in his pocket and make a benzene station in here and there. Also disappointments. I know what I'm talking about. Some people, they lose their faith in that. After all these things, I have been going to prayer. Listen, let me tell you something, man. Don't get disappointed to me. Even those people who pray and fast long, you can get sick. So, you know why? Because you are a human being. Your body has genes, and genes and molecules and everything. And bacteria are also there. Germs are also there. So if you all pray day and night, nobody gets sick, then why do we need heaven? Are we listening today? So even people who pray a lot, they can go through challenges. But there is one difference between them and them. Those people who pray they start holding on Jesus Christ. So this John the Baptist started asking, how come? Oh, how come I have been doing this? How come I have been doing that? How come I have done so and such? How come I have been there? How come? Why am I like this now? I thought, but you don't listen to me. Oh God, can I open my mouth? Can I open my mouth? Listen, Christianity is not a replacement of juju.
No.
Are you listening? Some of us, we think that Christianity means juju. That, you know, now I am a Christian, the only difference is that now I don't go to juju man, I go to pastor. That he can pray for me, and pastor will arrange things for me in heaven, and so I will. No, my friend, if you are going to go to juju man will help you. Christianity is not a replacement of black magic or white magic or whatever magic you want to call it. Christianity is not hocus pocus. Christianity is not juju. Hello. Some of us, we think that Christianity is, if we do the right thing, immediately the good thing will come. No, sometimes you do the right thing, all hell will lose against you. Is your problem?
Yeah.
Hello! So they have one question. How come I have been doing this? How come I have been doing that? How come I have been faithful to God? Listen to me. Stop with that how come question. Because it's going to make your life miserable. You know, when you do good to somebody, don't expect that somebody do good to you. In fact, even expect that that person will do you bad. You say, Pastor, how do I know? Out of counseling. Out of counseling. Nowadays, you help some people. When you help them, instead of they are grateful to you, tomorrow they are gossiping behind you. For example, now you need money, right? You need money. You come to someone, oh, give me money, I need money. Please, if you don't give me money, 5,000 euro, 6,000 euro. Let's say somebody gives somebody 6,000 euro. Now the 6,000 euro has been given. From that day on, gossips are around that person who gives the 6,000. Why? Because if the person have a bad face in the community, and even if he don't have paper, it's even better. Then he can report it to police. They will send him back to his country. Then I don't need to pay back my 6,000. These kind of things are happening in this society today. You see, when you do good to somebody, don't expect that person to come and shine your shoe. You understand? When you do good to somebody, don't even expect anything. Even if you want to be more realistic, even expect even that that very person may be against you tomorrow.
Yes.
We say that when someone comes to borrow from your money, that day you are his friend. The day you claim your money back, you are his enemy. Give me my money back. Give me my money back. It happened to me, to one of my friends that I know long time. I borrowed him money. After that, I become the bad man. I hear gossip within my family. I say, hey, where did the gossip come from? So and so. Say, I say, hey. So when you do good to somebody, when you do good to God, listen to me. When you come, can I talk to you? Open heart today. When you come to church, you are not favoring me. You understand? If you come to church, you are not favoring me. If you pay well, and I can get a salary, then you are favoring me. You understand? But I don't get anything. You understand? You don't favor me nothing. When you come to church, you favor, you are not even favoring God. When you come to church, you favor yourself because yourself are going to benefit from the word of God.
Amen.
No, it's Jesus Christ Foundation. It's not my church. Do you understand me? Oh, Pastor, I'm coming to your church. I'm coming. And sometimes you don't see them for a long time, and you see them in the street. You say, brother, I haven't seen you in the church. Why you haven't you come to the church? Okay, the okay is long. The longer the frequency of the okay, the harder the man is thinking. What answer shall I give? Okay. Let me give you an answer. Listen, when you come to church, you don't make me a favor. You are not coming to church to favor me.
No.
You come to church to receive favor from God. You pray not to favor me. You pray or you don't pray. It's not my problem. Sometimes here, Wednesday evenings, half of you are not coming to pray. Because it's not needed for you to pray. When you come to pray, you don't come for me. You don't come for him. You come for God. God to bless you. Hello.
Hi.
So when you are a part of a church, when you are part of a family, hello, can I talk to you today?
Yes.
You are not favoring me. You favor God. Some people say, yeah, I don't need church. I said, why you don't need church? Yeah, because nowadays television, you know. When you open television, you have Joseph Prince, you have John Austin, you have what more?
Smile.
Joyce Meyer, you have all of them. It's wonderful. Even I myself listen to them to get inspiration. But let me tell you something. If someone died today, Joseph Prince will not come and do the funeral. You need to belong to a community. If you want to wed, by God's grace, in 3 weeks we have a wedding. If you want to wed, you cannot put the television of Joseph Prince there to wed him. So let me put Joseph Prince. So Joseph Prince is there. You are there. Is it like that?
No.
Oh, listen. Don't ask questions. How come? How come? How come I have been member? How come I have? No, my friend. You don't ask how come question. Whatever you do for your God, you do it for yourself.
Yes.
Whatever you do good to others, be assured that God will reward you for that. But don't get your reward from people. People are not there to reward you. God will reward you. When you do good, God will reward you. Don't expect from people. Hallelujah. Are you listening today? I feel like preaching today. Hallelujah. No, I'm not even on half of my preaching. But anyway, number three. Why John the Baptist went through this question? The first one, who remember the first one? He went through pressure. The second one, he started asking how come question. How come? I don't know how come. Number three, wrong expectations. Wow. Wrong expectations. You know why? Because these people, including John the Baptist, he expected Jesus to become a military king with his soldiers and visiting to come and fight Herod. In fact, he was fully disappointed because Jesus said, even that Herod, I will die for him. Even that Herod, I love him. That Herod that you people want to kill him, I love him. Are you listening to me? So John the Baptist had the wrong expectation from Jesus. He thought Jesus would come as a general because he's the king. How many of you remember when Jesus entered Jerusalem? Everyone bowed to him. They said, King of Kings, Hosanna to the greatest son of David. You remember that? Uh-huh. Why did they bow to him? And 1 week later, they all shout crucify him. Why? Why did they bow to him? Because they thought that he is the king. They thought that he's the king and he's going to make a military coup d'etat, and he's going to take away Herod. But Jesus come and said, no, I'm not coming to make a coup d'etat. Even I'm coming so that your oppressors are going to be friends with you. And you be friends with your oppressors and sit at the one table of brotherhood and eat and drink. That is why I came to this world. That the lion and lamb will chop together.
Amen.
That's why this man was disappointed. And that's why so many people, when they go to church, they are disappointed. Because they think that the pastor is the miracle maker. They think that the elders are the miracle maker. So they go to church 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 1 month, nothing is happening. Oh no, this pastor is not strong. I'm going to another church. Then they go, they try another pastor for 2 months. Oh no, this pastor is not strong. I'm going to another church. And then they go to another pastor, and the pastor will say, oh, I can see the color of your other man. Oh, it's true. The pastor is true. You say, and I'm telling you, I listen myself in the radio. One pastor said, the color of God's family or something. I'm telling you. And that person said, it's true, you are man of God. Hey! Are there no other things than other way that is man of God? Hello? You think I'm joking? I'm real. I'm telling you the truth. Even that pastor was from London. A London pastor. I don't know his name, but somewhere there. Hallelujah. Sometimes people, I'm coming to church to get rich. No, you don't come to church to get rich. I'm coming to church to get this. I'm coming to church. No, you don't go to church to get this thing. Church is not a juju place. Hello. Some people come to me, can I talk? Can I be heart to heart?